second quick one again, so soon. The most important thing that you'll hear today is the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I have four short readings. First of all, in the book of Job. Now, if you have a Bible, please look these scriptures up. And if you don't have a Bible, then please listen to the Word of God as it's read. Our first reading is actually in Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. And Job, reading by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps experience, could say in Job 14, verse 1, man is born of woman, is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, or he shall accomplish the hireling his day. For there's hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 24. Acts 17, 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, partly they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far out from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own bodies, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. And our last reading is in Romans chapter 10, in this passage that we use in the gospel. And Romans chapter 10, we'll read from verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. God will open. Bless the reading of the precious inerrant word. I'm glad we have the word of God today. Job, in our first passage that we were reading, mentions some interesting things. And he speaks about fragility of man. And in verse 5, he said, seeing his days are determined. You know, some people probably say, his time was up. Or things along that type of line. But man's days are appointed, such as the Bible declares. And are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. So man has a time on this earth and a responsibility with that time and what he does with that time. But, you know, it talks about, as I say, the fragility of man, 2 days. Now, most people would live 70, 80, 90 years and added strength perhaps 100 years. But compared to eternity, dear folks, that's a very little time. A little amount of time, just 70 or 80 years or more. Little time. And of course, full of trouble. Well, I don't have to tell you, just outside there, in this world, full of trouble. The things that men go through, when I say men, I'm talking about men and women, we all experience troubles in life, and problems, and all the things that come along that would plague mankind, death and all these things. And the Bible says, not only are man's days short, but full of trouble. But, you know, when I was in a false religious cult, I didn't believe that man was more than just a body. All that I believed was that man was just a body. And when you died, that was it. That was the end of life. But not according to the word of God. Not according to the word of God. Job makes this interesting statement here in verse 4. First of all, he said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. But it says down here in verse 10, but man died and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? You see, man is more than a body. The Bible says that man was created in the image of God, and in the image of God created he man, after his own likeness. You see, God, dear friends, is triune. He's a trinity. The Bible says very clearly in 1 John that there's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three are one. And man was made in God's image. Now, how do we know that? Because the Bible very clearly declares that fact. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul would say, I pray God holy that your whole soul, spirit and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews it says this, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide asunder of the soul, the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. That's your body, the joints and the marrow. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And lastly, may I add, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who said this, fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Do you know what that tells me? Man is more than a body. And not only that, as well as a heaven, there is a hell. Yes, Job said, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? You know, scientists, physicians, have been trying to discover why men die. Why this body deteriorates. Is there an answer? They've been searching for the answer for this since the year dot. And, you know, men have sought immortality. But alas, they've sought it the wrong way. And that wrong way is their way. The Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But the Bible does declare, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, it says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Now, I'm painting a picture here from the Word of God to show the negative side of life. But there's good news. That's why we're going to preach the gospel. That's why we're going to declare to you the truth of the scripture concerning salvation. And you see, there's a need for salvation. That's why we preach the gospel, because men who are fragile at most, you know the hymn that we just sang, life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf, like the binding of a sheep, being in time. You see, dear friends, you have to be in time, because no one knows what another day may bring forth. And to be in time is to be right with God, because the Bible says that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness. For that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, who came as a Saviour, but one day he will be judged. And that will be a different story. So men are appointed once unto die, but after this, the judgment. You see, there is life after death. After this, the judgment. And unlike what I was taught, that death was the end. It was just a body put into a grave, and that was it. No, dear friends, there's much more than that. Death is the beginning of eternity. But where you spend eternity will determine what you do with time and the responsibility that you've been given in time. Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? So there is a serious issue that every man has to deal with in life. There is a serious issue. And there's a responsibility in proclaiming the gospel, the truth of God's word. Men need to hear the truth. And men need to listen to what God is saying. Because these things are vital. These issues that we are presenting to you this afternoon are critical. Because if you do nothing with what I said or what the Lord declares, then you're not rebelling against me, but God himself. Because this is God's word, his infallible word that he has given. And the word of God must go forth. And preachers and teachers must be responsible in presenting the truth, so that we are not guilty of all those that would hear and yet not do anything with what they hear. Because you have a responsibility. So what will you do with Christ? Will you receive him as your Saviour? Or will you reject him today? We present the gospel. The gospel is all about Christ, dear friends. It's not about man. It's not about going to church or living good lives. That's nothing to do with Christianity. That may come into Christianity when a person is saved. Salvation is all about a person. And we're presenting to you this afternoon a person, the only one that can give you hope, If you're here this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you're not in Christ, you've not been born again of the Holy Spirit, you need to listen to what God is saying. You need to listen, dear friends, that after this life, where will you be? Where will you be in eternity? That is the question. All those who do nothing. Yes. Revelation gives up a picture. And in Revelation chapter 20, John was taken by the power of the Spirit, and he was shown the future. And John saw something very profound, something awesome. John saw this. He said he saw a great white throne. And he said he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And John saw something else, he said. And another book was opened. It was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the book of life, according to their works. It also goes on to say, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, this is a serious matter, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Dear friends, that's why we come here every time to preach the gospel. It's to declare not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but to warn people about a lost eternity, a place that you wouldn't want to be without Christ. We're here to tell you the truth, give you the facts as they are presented according to the Word of God, and to warn you of judgment to come. But listen, if all I had this afternoon was this message, it wouldn't be very good in that sense. It would just be negative, and perhaps you'd go out here depressed. But listen, we have good news. And the Bible says this, that God is calling all men everywhere to repent. You say, well, what does it mean to repent? Does it mean that I must give up all my sins? Does it mean that I have to go and amend all that I've done wrong? That's not true biblical repentance. Biblical repentance is to turn from one side unto another side, to look one way unto another way. It's to acknowledge that before a holy God, indeed, we are sinners. The Bible says this, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now that is the problem. But we have a responsibility before God. And repentance is to realise that you are a sinner, and you can't do nothing to save yourself. That's why you're calling upon God for mercy. You're calling upon God for His salvation. You see, if you could do anything to merit salvation in a way, then salvation is by faith and works. And you've done something. You can't do anything. There's not one thing that you can do to get eternal life. There's only one thing that can get you eternal life. And as I have been declared from the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But not only that, it's faith in Christ. Because we read from the Scriptures that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because you are a sinner, and you need to be saved. But repentance, dear friends, isn't what you do. It's what has already been done and finished at that place called Calvary. At the cross, nearly 2,000 years ago, God manifest in the flesh died on that cross to pay for your sins. He took all your sins in His own body on that tree. And he finished the work. He alone could say, it is finished. Therefore, salvation, dear friends, as Jonah said, is of the Lord. It's not of you. You can't do anything. So don't think, well, I better do this before I get saved, or I better stop doing this. You might not have time to amend yourself, to get yourself right with God. You've just got to call upon God in mercy. You've got to believe the gospel. Believe that Christ died for your sins. If you just believe, and dear friends, belief or believing is not a work according to Romans chapter 5. You've got to believe the gospel. And if you believe the gospel and trust in Christ, that he paid for your sins, he died for you, if you just but trust Christ and call upon him, you can have eternal life. And that's the assurance from the Word of God. Not just what I'm saying. The Bible says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yes, the wages of sin is death. That's why men are dying. And that's the issue today. It's not that men have lost some gene that has caused this. It's sin is the problem. Sin is a problem in life. And it's because of sin men die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift, dear friends, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's why we preach the gospel. We must be very clear to whom we are presenting. We're presenting to you the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. He was God's Son. He wasn't just some prophet, as many in religion declare him to be. No, dear friends, he was the Son of the living God. And not only that, the Bible says this, he was God manifest in flesh. Now, we can understand the truth of the Trinity. To understand God and to make him plain, no man can do that. Nobody can take God and put him in a box. But it's by faith that you're justified. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but by faith alone. And as I mentioned before, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's the word of God today that goes out in power. And if you're convicted today, it's not what I've said, it's what you've heard today from this infallible book. And if you receive Christ, you can know the joy of sins forgiven. Now, salvation, let me just say lastly, salvation is very simple. And there's young children here. The Bible says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, believe that Christ died for your sins, shall be saved. If you just from your heart, in innocence from your heart, and in truthfulness, call upon God, you can know the joy of sins forgiven. You can depend on what God said, because it's impossible, dear friends, for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And I'm glad that we have the Word of God today. We have it in our mother tongue. And there's much that can be said. But let me just say this. What or who are you trusting in today? And if you're trusting in just simply coming along to make yourself right to a church or a place like this, a meeting hall like this, that won't get you right before God. You'll still be deep in your sin, far removed from God, if that's what you think being right with God is. And if you think by living a life that's good and moral will inherit you or gain you into God's fair heaven, you'll never be there. But simply, Christ died for you and Christ did it all. And there's nothing more to be done. And there's nothing more to be said. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it now. before time runs out in your experience. But if you do it now, you will know the joy of sins forgiven and a place in heaven. And this is what we pray, not only for Whitburn, but throughout this world. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has come back again. He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming back. The world hasn't seen the last of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men put him on a cross and thought they were getting rid of one that was a troublemaker. But that was only the beginning of greater things to come. And dear friends, he's coming. And perhaps very, very soon. There may not be another day in your experience to receive God's salvation. The offer of salvation, which is free and is given as a gift. But call upon God now, and you will know the surety of the word of God, the blessings of Christ, the salvation that can only be given by God himself. Let's pray.